three people. Okay, four people know what this is. Nick, you know what this is. Okay, no, don't tell nobody. This is something, all right, let's put it this way. How many of you have no idea what this is? Okay, see, look at that. I'll tell you later, okay? You're going to enjoy what that is in a moment. But last week, we began to discover who Jesus is. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been to so many healing seminars, financial conferences, marriage conferences, and there's nothing wrong with all that. We need all that. When's the last time you went to a Jesus conference? I mean, think about it. Christianity is Christ. You can't have no Christianity without Him. And it seems like we want to know more about what He does and the blessing He brings than about Him, than about Jesus Himself. But I'm persuaded that the more we know about Him, the more we'll know about us. If we understand who Jesus is, we're going to begin operating in our true identity as believers in Christ. And last week we found out that He's the Almighty to the not so mighty, right? That's why Abraham was able to have a baby after age, because he met the El Shaddai. God had to say to Abraham, listen, if you know me as the Almighty, then it doesn't matter what you're facing, you're going to be able to win. You're going to be able to have the victory. So when he knew him as the Almighty, having a baby was an easy thing. So we've got to know who Jesus is. We found out that he's the Christ. He's the one that breathed on the disciples. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And we found in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 that Adam became a living being when God breathed on him. And we know that Jesus, the last Adam, was the one that breathes on us and makes us a life giving spirit. He is the life-giving spirit. We found out that he is the one that will reform us when sin deforms us. God formed us, sin deformed us, and Jesus Christ can transform us. Right there, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because he is the true transformer. I don't know about you, but we live in an age, I believe, that is full of religious pluralism and moral relativism. In other words, there is gospels being preached out there that have no source of truth. There are so many out there that believe you can believe what you want to believe and still go to heaven. I have to tell you what Jesus said in John 14 in verse 6. He said this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said, no man goes to the Father but through me. You and I must know that if this is the only way to heaven, we ought to know him. We ought to just know about him. I think Christians today know more about Jesus than they actually know Jesus. I want to become intimately acquainted with him, don't you? I want to understand him. That's why in the Bible over 100 times, God gave him titles or descriptions so that we can begin to comprehend him, begin to fully know him and apply who he is. You see, Jesus personifies truth. He is truth. I have to understand that they could not convince him to commit a sin. They could not convict him in a court of law because he had never done anything wrong. They couldn't crucify him as a criminal. He committed no criminal act. Understand, he taught the truth and he lived the truth because he is the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, when you know the truth, not just hear the truth. Come on, say, when I know the truth, I will be free. I like that song that says there's nothing. Ooh, watch. That's an important piece. Thank you. You know, my granddaughter likes to play this game. Bring it back. You ever see kids? It's like you pick something up and they knock it over again. It's like, okay, this is not a game. Thanks, Lowell. You just taught me a lesson. Next time they do that to me, take the thing away, right? You're so cute. Well, you don't put it back, huh? You're going to test me now, see if I won't do it. But there's this popular spiritual philosophy out there that all religious beliefs will lead you to God, or all religious belief systems are the same. But they're not. They're not all the same. And we have to know. I had a person come to me this morning. I was shaking hands at the door. She said, I've got to talk to you. She said, I know you're shaking hands, but I got to talk to you. I said, I need to shake hands. She said, I need to talk to you. She started telling me about how this erroneous teaching got to her, and how people told her that, you know, women are insignificant, proved it in the Bible, they have no calling, they're not equal with men, all this kind of stuff. She goes, I was feeling like sick in my stomach. I said, that's because the devil was preaching to you. How many know the truth will set you free? Truth about your marriage, truth about your money, truth about your future. When you know the truth, you live free. And there's nothing like freedom in God. And that's why he came. The Son of Man came to set us free. And that's what the truth will do. So I just declare over this house today, freedom. Not one person in bondage, under heaviness. The curse is broken. You are walking in liberty. The Spirit of God is upon you. You are the anointed of God. You are the healed of God. You are victorious. You are more than conquerors. You are up and not down. You are over and not under. Somebody give me an amen. Now, you know what amen means? So be it. So be it, or let it be, or yeah, I agree with that. It's always good when preachers get amens. They're better than oh me's. But did you know that Jesus was the amen? Yes, he was. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, he tells us in that scripture, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So the Bible refers to Jesus as the Amen. Now, why is that so important? Why do we need to know Jesus as the Amen? See, when you say Amen in a service, or you say Amen to somebody when you hear something that you agree with, it's because you're putting yourself in agreement with truth. When you hear truth, you say, so be it. When you hear truth, you say, yes, that's right. Or you say, amen. But God the Father calls Jesus his amen on the earth. Jesus just didn't teach truth. Jesus personified truth. He was the truth of God in the earth. He was God's amen. God preached and Jesus shouted, amen. God released healing, and Jesus said, lay them on me. Amen, Daddy. Amen. Put them stripes on my back. Amen. He was the amen of the Father. That's why we have to know him as the so be it. You and I can't walk in truth apart from the amen. The amen is truth because he is faithful. See, if you just know about God, or you just know truth or knowledge, it's not the same. You can't walk in truth until you know the truth, until you say amen to the amen. That's why I like that song that occasionally we hear Minister James do with a choir, that we need to get back again. Now, what happened to that gospel choir? Amen. You know, amen, 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 amen. You know, I'm like, yeah, amen. But Jesus is the amen. He is truth. He is faithful. He is certain. He's assertive. He is the so be it. He is so let it be. You see, if you want to be sure of the truth in the Bible, you have to know Jesus, who personifies that truth. John 5 and 19, the Bible says there that Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus did what he heard. Thus, he became the Amen. Watch. Jesus doing what he heard became the truth that was spoken. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to say amen in a church service. I want to be the amen. I want to wake up in the morning and my life declare amen, 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 amen. I just walk up and get up in the morning and treat my wife right, and amen comes out of my spirit. I want to treat you right, and amen comes up out of my spirit. I want to say yes to the word of God, and amen comes out of my belly. You and I, like Jesus, are the amen on the earth to the Father, because he walked in truth. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Give me one more amen.
Amen.
Give me two amens.
Amen.
Woo, you feel it? He's the amen of heaven. The songwriter says, throw yourself flat on the rock of ages. Recognize that truth is Jesus. It's not just in him. He is truth. And when you receive Christ, you've received truth. And just like Jesus only did what he heard and became the amen on the earth to the Father, you and I become the amen. We establish truth when you and I receive truth. And when we walk in truth, it is so be it. See, you can't walk in healing until you receive the truth of healing. You can't walk in salvation until you receive the truth of a sin-sick soul being redeemed by the precious lifeblood of Jesus Christ. And when you walk in that truth, you become that truth. You become the amen or the echo of heaven in the earth. That's why the church is so powerful. We're on display in this generation. There's a time where we're going to have to know the truth. And not just know about the truth. But he's not only the amen, he's the apostle. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. He's the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Think about it. Jesus was sent from heaven into earth by the Father. He was sent as an apostle to create what had not existed prior to his arrival. When Jesus came to earth, when light invaded darkness, darkness had to back up and get out of the way. Understand something. He is an invader. He is a space invader of all space invaders. When Christ's truth comes into your life, he's the apostle. He's sent from God to create and originate and build foundation into you and to me that previously did not exist. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. As an apostle, he is close to me. He's creating for me. He's originating for me. But as a high priest, he is close to God at the very same time. Why is that important that he's your high priest? We found that out last week. Because he is an advocate. He's your attorney. He's the intercessor. He's the one that's pleading your case before the Lord and declaring you not guilty. That's why when the devil comes with condemnation, you got to know him as your advocate. I tried to tell this woman this morning, I said, honey, you need to stop listening to the devil's preaching. She said, I know, but I don't know. They showed me in the Bible. I said, hey, the devil will show you in the Bible. I said, but it's bondage. It's not peaceful. It's not truth. It's not God's amen. Listen, I tell you what. I don't quite understand this world. I mean, bless our legislators, but Charlie Rangel, Congressman, New York, about our debt ceiling says, what would Jesus do? That's been the problem of the church. We want him to do. It's not what would Jesus do. It's watch what Jesus does. And then emulate what he is displaying. Church, he's the amen for us to echo. He is the apostle or the originator or the one that created a foundation. We don't just know about him. We just don't create seminars and conferences about his blessings. No, I want to know him. Paul, the greatest apostle of all, said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Sir, we want to see Jesus. I don't care about your choir or your preacher or your deacon or your elder or your youth board or your ushers board or anybody else. I want to see Jesus. Shout amen. He's your apostle. He's the one that created this foundation of the kingdom of God in our lives. He established, watch this, we who only lived a sin, sick soul life. He, as the originator, he, as the apostle, broke in to soul sickness. And gave you and me the perfect propitiation for that sin. Until the coming of this apostle, there was no hope and there was no help. Sacrifice of bulls and lambs could not do it. High priest of human nature could not do it. Religion, observation, ritual could not do it. Because until the apostle that came from heaven broke in on your situation and mine, he became the perfect propitiation for our sin. His blood cleanses of all sin. Lift your hand and thank God. Amen. Come on. Thank God. Now think about it. He made us partakers of a heavenly calling. Have you ever seen people who come from other countries who are trying to gain citizenship of the United States of America? Now, why would anyone want to be a citizen of the greatest country and nation on the earth? Duh. Makes sense. Did you know that these individuals have to go through a series of inquisitions and they have to learn about things that you can't even remember? That you and I probably weren't even taught in social studies. They have to remember and remind themselves of the Constitution and the mottos of the countries and the state and the Supreme Court and the legislative body. And we're going like, yeah, right. But they study and they submit themselves to this. Why? Because they know that to gain citizenship in the greatest country on the face of the earth changes their status. Did you know until our apostle came to the earth, there was no hope of you and me being transferred from a fourth world nation, not even third, fourth, fifth, or sixth. You and I were living in abject darkness. You and I were living with no hope, no help, no future. You and I were living in a kingdom that was dominated by a Satan, by an adversary who only come to steal, kill, and destroy from your life, who only came to bust you up and tear you down. But the apostle broke into that kingdom and he said, look, I've got another kingdom that you can be a part of. Listen, he said, I'm going to transfer you. Say transfer. Colossians 1 and verse 13, he transferred us. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Ladies and gentlemen, our great apostle has given us citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. Right there, you ought to say, hallelujah. Or do it this way, hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm a hallelujah man. Think about what God's done for us. We are citizens of heaven with all the rights and privileges thereof. As an apostle, he made you holy. Don't look over your shoulder right now, but there's holy sitting around you. You say, don't look that all holy to me. They are holy because God made them holy. He separated them. He set them apart. You and I have been set apart by the blood of the Lamb. We who knew no righteousness are now made righteous. Why? Because God sent the apostle. God sent the one who broke through the veil of darkness and made possible through his own life the potential for you and me to become what? Become what? Citizens of heaven. To become what? Forgiven of our sin. And what else to enjoy? Separation and holiness and righteous living before God. Not of our own works should any man boast, but because he is the apostle of our confession. Give him a patty cake praise right there. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah! You see, what he has, I have. Say that with me. What he has, I have. Say it again. What he has, I have. Say this. Where he is, I am. Say where he is, I am. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You have all the rights and privileges of our elder brother. We are in covenant with God through Jesus Christ, of the apostle of our confession. I want you to know I'm not minimal. I'm not inferior. And there's nothing average about this old boy. I have been redeemed by the apostle of my confession. The Bible says in that Hebrews verse to consider. Everybody say consider. 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 It's a Greek word. And this Greek word means this: to direct one's whole mind to an object, to immerse oneself in it, and hence to apprehend it wholly in its whole compass. Consider. Whole compass. I'm immersing myself in this. I'm not trying Jesus like I try on a pair of jeans. Maybe I'll buy them, maybe I won't. No, no, no. I'm immersing myself in this thing. I've made a choice. I'm jumping off the cliff and there's no return. There's no turning back. I have decided it's over. I'm moving on with God and I know that God has something great for me. You see, Christianity is Christ. It tells us to look unto Jesus. That Greek word means look away from and look unto. We got one eyeball on the past and one eyeball on our future. Listen, look away from your past. Look away from your failure. Look away from the opinions of others. Look away from the rejection of your past life. Look away from anything that is hindering you and get your eyeballs on Jesus. Be fully immersed in him and watch what God will do. He is going to introduce you to a new life because he's the apostle. Hallelujah. He's the amen. He's the so be it on the earth. He is the personification of truth. And if healing's a truth, then that truth is in him. If increase is a truth, then that increase is in him. If peace is a truth, then that peace is in him. All things are in Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Or do you just know about him? He's also the author and finisher. Say that with me. Author and finisher. In the Greek, we could understand it this way. The word author could be originator. So he is the originator. He is also the completer. He's also the finisher. Let me make an announcement. God did not find you to leave you where he found you. God did not save you to leave you messed up. I don't know about you, but I ever occasionally watch this particular show on TV with my wife. And it's called Homes on Homes. This big bad boy comes in there and fixes contractors who mess up other people's houses. You know, like when you go to turn the faucet on in your bathroom and the toilet flushes, you got a problem. And Holmes comes in there and goes, "I ain't never seen such shoddy work. I'm about to fix you." That's who he is. He's our fixer. Because some of us came to church this morning, no matter how hard we try, every time we turn on our faucet, you hear the sound of flushing one more time. Your life is going down the drain. But let me tell you something. Do not fear. Don't you be concerned, because He is the originator and the finisher of our faith. God can fix any malfunction. God can correct any shoddy work. I don't know who built you or tried to build you. Whether it was your former church, preacher, religion, mama, Annie M and them, whoever it was. But I want you to know, no matter how messed up you are, God can and will fix you up. Come on, look at somebody and say, He can fix you. He can fix you. You ain't all that bad. He can fix you. And you know, do you ever see the end of that show? After he comes in there and he tears it all up. And he's talking about, wow, this contractor, he hooked up the toilet to the sink. What kind of idiot is that? Well, that's what the devil likes to do. He likes you to think that you're getting water out of a faucet when he's flushing stuff down your life. No. But he comes in, he goes, I'm going to fix that. Tear that out. Put new in there. We're going to do it. And then after it's over. I don't know. Have you ever been moved to tears? I've come close a couple times. The lady comes in and she looks at her bathroom. She goes, oh my gosh. Thank you. And she hugs and kisses him. And he stands there, you know, like this knight in the shining armor. No problem, ma'am. Just doing my job. And I'm sitting there going, oh, honey, he fixed her bathroom. Are you touched too, just like I'm touched? Now, of course, I'm being a bit facetious. I'm not really that touched. But it's a truth in the Spirit. It's a truth in the Spirit. He's the originator and the finisher. You may be here today with partial functioning bathrooms, living rooms, kitchens. Doesn't matter what it is. God has the resources and the power to come in there and fix you. It doesn't take a long time. When He moves in on the scene, it's only one episode. It's only one show. From 11 o'clock by 11:30, you fixed. Come on now. God can fix you in no time because He's the originator and the finisher of our faith. That's a good place to say thank you, Jesus. That's a good place to say amen. That's a good place to say hallelujah, man. I'm so happy because I know this next year God's about to finish me. He's about to fix me. He's about to make me work right. Live right. Pray right. Come on now. Walk right. He's about to take my limp from me. My lisp out of me. I'm about to get into the extreme home makeover. God is about to turn my life around. Move the bus! I just want you to know, God is about to move the bus in your life. And you're going to be blown away at what He's going to do. Come on, Jesus. Some of you looking at me like, okay, is this man on drugs? Is he high? I just been fixed. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus as the originator. In other words, the author originates things that previously did not exist so He can complete you. See, He has to create. He has to have the resource of the right flushing toilet in order to fix the malfunction. So that means as the originator, He brings to us the land of healing in order for our weakness, sickness, and brokenness to come into that land. He originates it, and then He completes it. God doesn't want to leave you broken. You may come to him that way, but in one episode, he wants to turn it around in our life. That's why I love him so. He's not content to leave me where he found me. You know, the Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. I don't want to go into the Hebrew in that one. That's nasty. Just say nasty. That's what we were before Christ found us. But he's not going to leave us nasty. He's going to clean us up. He's going to complete us. He's going to fix us. He is our finisher. I love this one. Say with me, he is my beloved son. Do you remember what happened at the River Jordan when Jesus was baptized by John? John didn't want to baptize him. He was saying, Lord, you're the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. I can't be baptizing you. He said, no, that all scripture might be fulfilled. In other words, everything the Father said, I do. Everything he says, I listen to. That's why God, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit fell like a dove. And the voice was heard, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Let me give teenagers and young people a secret. Don't tell anybody where you heard this. If you want it to go well for you, just say yes, okay, to whatever mom and dad say. I thought I'd get an amen from some parents. Some of you parents are you afraid? Jesus only did what he heard the Father say, John 5:19. Now listen to this truth, because this will really help us understand how we can walk as the beloved. I want to be God's beloved on the earth, don't you? He calls us us the beloved. He calls us friends. We want to walk in that truth. And the way we walk in that truth is never to allow ourselves to become disconnected. When you and I become separated from God, or we begin to live independently. Ooh, there's a word. When we live independent from God, we no longer walk in the status of the beloved. Think with me about Adam and Eve. Anybody ever hear about the story of Adam and Eve? Okay. God talked to Adam and Eve. Of all the trees of the garden, you may partake. Right? This one, keep your mitts to yourself. So here comes the serpent. And he says what God didn't say. The sin of Adam and Eve was not as much eating or partaking of the fruit as was the implication of them discontinuing to listen. When you and I become independent and separated from God's voice, sin will follow. The sin of Adam and Eve was as a result of their disconnection to the voice of God. Because the devil twisted it. He said, hath not God said? Didn't you hear this? It's interesting that they stopped listening to God. You can always tell when someone stopped listening to God because they start listening to men. They start listening to their friends. They start listening to their flesh, their cravings. The first thing that happened in the garden as soon as Adam sinned, what was it? God killed an animal and brought what? The covering of the skin, which was symbolic of the proto-evangelium, Genesis 3:15. The Christ shall come. He will bruise the devil's head. The enemy will bruise his heel, but he'll be victorious. He will rise again, and mankind will be saved, and they will be reintroduced or reconnected to God. What's the reconnection? It's hearing God. It's interesting. Jesus preached. How many times did he say in the Gospels, he who has, let him, what the Spirit of God is saying. What this world is vying to do is to disconnect us from hearing from God. Once you're disconnected or separated from hearing, you will fall into sin. What's the first thing God did after Adam fell? Well, he covered him, gave him a covenant, gave him a hope, gave him a promise. But what did he start doing? He started crying out to Adam. He kept saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? Was God confused? Did Adam hide and God didn't know where Adam was? God's like, okay, I know he's in here somewhere. I put him in his garden, but I can't find him. Boy, I cannot find him. Adam, where are you, Adam? Adam, come on out. This ain't funny, Adam. Come on behind that tree. It wasn't that at all. He knew where Adam was. He was calling to him for Adam to hear his voice to reconnect to him. But Adam didn't reconnect. Some of us come to church, but we don't connect. We're hearing sermons, but we're not listening. We're disconnected. And that's where sin crouches at the door. That's where God told Cain. He said, sin's crouching at the door. A tiger that crouches is a tiger that's about to attack. Sin's about to attack. Hear my voice. You don't have to experience this sin. But he wouldn't listen. That's why in Exodus chapter 4, God told Abraham, you go tell Pharaoh, let my son go. This world system has this generation in its hearing. You and I become a beloved son when we reconnect and listen to what God says. When we hear what God is saying. The moment Adam stopped listening to God, God began calling. God's calling you today. God's calling you. I don't know where you are in life, but he's calling you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you. He wants you to hear his voice. It's just like my own children. I've had to call their names many times when they were children. Being raised, I'd call their name and I'd say, do you hear me? Are you listening? Because I knew the moment they stopped listening, listen to me. The moment they stopped listening, there was an independent spirit that came. There was a separation. My kids went off into rebellion, into sin, because they wouldn't hear my voice. The voices of their friends became more prominent than the voice of the parent who loved them. Do you hear me? When you and I fail to hear God, we become disconnected. That's why sin comes so easily. And lastly, he's the bread of life. Now, Jesus freaked some people out in John chapter 6. Put the scripture up there. There was all kinds of disciples because it was beginning to get popular to serve Jesus. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And then he goes on to say in verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then he goes on in verse 34. They said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said this, I am that bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You know, when they started hearing that, they're like, whoa, this is cannibalism. They thought they had to eat Jesus and drink his blood. That they were like flipped out. They're like, whoa, this is it. I'm out. Forget it. This is a crazy cult. He wasn't talking about that. He wasn't making reference to that. But this really defines a truth that we're all dealing with in this generation. And I don't want you to misinterpret it. I'm only using it as an example. 2/3 of America today, at the latest report, is obese. What's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. And I think in churches, we have spiritual obesity. Now, what does that mean? We're eating too much word? No, too much junk word. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about glycemic index. And I don't know enough about this stuff. I just know enough to appear like I know, but I really don't know. I just read about it. You know, I got a minor in psychology. People say, Pastor, could I come in for some counseling? I say, well, it's your time. I'll throw some terms at you if you want me to. Sounds Freudian to me. Anyway, glycemic index. High glycemic index foods are not as good for you as low glycemic index foods. Right? Do I got that right so far, all of you that know all about that stuff? Okay. But high glycemic foods taste better. You know, sugar. Say it with me. Sugar. Ooh, we love sugar. Now, high glycemic, you know, like chips and pretzels and snack foods and all the preservatives and the, you know, the stuff that if you're hungry, it's like, get me a bag of chips. I eat the whole bag. Whew, that's good. Man, I feel good. Problem is, you're high for a little while and then, boom, back down. And the reason for it is because you're missing key nutrients in your diet, right? The key nutrients, hold on to your hat. Hold on to your seat. Are you ready? They're not found in Breyer's vanilla cherry ice cream. I know they say it's fat-free, but they're lying. It's found in fruits and vegetables. Woohoo! Yay for broccoli and asparagus and peas. Nobody wants that. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Here's what we reduced the church to. Refined white bread with the crust cut off with a little jam on it on Sunday so I can get my sugar high and get it to the parking lot before I crash and burn on Monday. We don't want solid meat. We just want what will satisfy our craving of our carnal appetites. That's why we don't have hymnals in the pews anymore. You can't throw them at me. Now, over in the Middle East, they take off shoes and throw them, so don't try that. You can imagine a 4-inch heel spike. Could be serious. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we as a church have to get back to the meat of the word. And it's unfortunate, but in congregations, we don't want anything but refined white bread, Lay's potato chip, dip, please. We want our candy and our chocolates. We want to know how good we are, how good we're doing, and how much God loves us so we can say, hallelujah, and that was a great service. Did you feel the anointing? The problem is you don't even get home yet and you've crashed from your high and you're like Jekyll and Hyde. Your kids are flipping out. You're going, where's dad that was in love with Jesus? You are acting like the devil. Because you need another fix. Low glycemic index foods, from what I understand, take longer to digest and reduce appetite. It will fill your belly a longer time. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, by now we ought to be teachers of the Word of God. But the problem is, too many in the church still need to be bottle fed. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread from heaven. You've got to have more in preaching than talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then talking about Daniel in the lion's den. Then talking about how much God loves us and he died for us at Calvary. Those are great stories. But you know what? If I don't get some veggies, if I don't get some amino acid working up in here, if I don't get my nutrients, I am going to be weak, sick, and I'm going to die premature. Now, don't get me wrong. I like my high glycemic index foods. Now, I've been on this little veggie fruit fast since last October. I've got till October 1st. Guess what I'm doing October 2nd? Breyer's vanilla cherry ice cream, the whole gallon. It's mine. Don't even get in my way. I'm going to pig out. Yeah, you can't have none. And then that Sunday when I come in, I'll be like, whoa. Listen, we all have those moments where our appetites are craving. And we all satisfy them sometimes with the wrong things. It's time now for us to get healthy spiritually. He is the bread of life. Some people only want parts in the Bible that are refined white bread, crust cut off, dotted with sweets, easy to digest. But Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. You see, you and I need to know him today as our amen. He is the personification of the truth God spoke. He is our apostle. He originated for us a citizenship we had no hope of ever enjoying. He is the author and the finisher. He will fix you. He will complete you. What a wonderful Savior we have. He is the beloved Son. He is that one who's connected to the Father. He said, those that do my commandments are the ones who love me. Listen to the voice of God. Don't disconnect today. Don't listen to the voice of those who are trying to persuade you that God isn't real, that the kingdom isn't good, and that God doesn't have a plan or he doesn't love you. That's a lie. That's a disconnection from the Father in heaven. And finally, pull up and do what I have to do. You know, being on this diet for so long now, at night when I'm hungry, I go to my kitchen, I get a bowl out that I used to put my cherry vanilla ice cream in, and I fill it up with peas, just frozen peas. And I put them in the microwave for 3 minutes, pop out, they're steaming. And I put some sea salt on it, and I get a spoon, and I sit down and start eating that. I look over at Tina, I say, hey, baby, you want some peas? And she said, ugh, no way. I don't want to. I hate peas. I said, they are so good. You know why they're good? Because the cherry ice cream's not an option. And Dr. Summerall said to me a long time ago, you feed your children what you want them to love. And if you'll begin to feed yourself the meat of the word, you'll love the word. And you will not be able to stomach anything less. As a sidebar, Tina loves broccoli and asparagus. So I don't want you to think she doesn't eat her veggies. She just doesn't like peas. So every once in a while, I take a few and throw them at her. I say, here's a pea. Here's a pea. She said, stop it. Then when she said, stop it, I want to do it more. So I said, quail, quail. I said, open your mouth. Let me just see if I can throw it in there. Open your mouth. Come on. She goes, no, I'm not going to open up my mouth. I said, open up your mouth. Come on, let me just try. Just one. And so she goes, and I hit it, hits in the face, bounces off her nose. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. She said, you are crazy. I am so crazed for vegetables, fruits, solid food. I get more joy out of a bowl of peas than I do ice cream. Oh, give me a little ice cream, I'll get hooked again. But right now, I'm going to stay with him. You going to stay with him this morning? Will you do it? Will you stay with him? Will you get to know Jesus as your amen from heaven? Will you get to know him as your apostle, as your author and finisher? Would you know him that way? He's more than just a baby in a manger. Come on. He's more than that. Now, I ask you what this is, right? And just a few of you know what it is. It's a chair. Isn't that crazy? It's a chair from Africa. And the reason why I've got this is because one day when I was there, they were preaching. And they brought their chair to church, like you're going to bring your lounge chairs to the picnic. And they set it down. I'm not going to put it on the floor because I may not be able to get back up. And they put it there and they sit on it. And they preach the gospel under a tree. And then when they're done, they take the chair and put it on their belt and go to the next tree. Isn't that something? It's a chair used to preach the gospel and to disciple those that have not known Christ. I said, can I have that chair, sir? I want to take it home and someday share it with my church. And you see, we have a lot of nice chairs in here. We have beautiful padded chairs that are much different than the chairs that they have in this part of Africa. And I was looking at these two chairs and I said, Lord, what's the difference? They both hold people up. And he said, this one speaks of abundance. This one speaks of scarcity. And I said, well, Lord, maybe we ought, who have more abundance, give to those that have less. The chair you've been enjoying this last hour or so in this service is because of God's goodness to us as a nation and as a people. But the offering that we're about to receive today is an offering that goes to preach the gospel. I see empty chairs in this room today. You see, the money you give is to put people in these seats. The money that you give to missions is to give Joseph another chair. We don't ever want to forget our brothers and sisters around the world. We have an obligation to send them provision. So when you're writing your check today, you're giving your tithe, know that it's going to fill chairs and provide opportunities to preach this gospel. It's an awesome responsibility that you and I have. Let's give today freely. Thank you for your generosity as a church. You have so blessed Tina and me. Let me tell you a word that we got Friday. Tina received the word. She said to me as we were reading our Bibles, she said, come sit over here. I said, what? I thought she was going to kiss me, but she didn't. She said, come sit over here. She sat down. I sat down next to her, and she had communion ready. She said, I think the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. We have to have communion together. She began to read a scripture out of Israel when they were about to go in and cross the Jordan. They were at Gilgal. There, God lifted the reproach off of them from Egypt. And God gave a word to her and I about our reproach that we have been carrying for many, many years. And maybe I'll tell you about it in the future. It's another sermon, another day. He lifted it off of us. And they had the Passover following. She said, we need to take our Passover. So we had communion today. And I said, wait a minute. If that's true for you and me, that's true for everybody connected to us. That God wants to lift a reproach that's been hanging over your life. That thing that's been heavy on you. This is a new day. And I just pray this morning that all reproach be lifted from your life. And that you walk in total freedom and liberty. That there will never again be a hindrance in your life to remind you of your past. But that you are redeemed and forgiven. And you've got a glorious future ahead of you. I say, be free in Jesus' name. I say, let liberty come to your life. Walk in the freedom of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hold that offering up. Father, we thank you today that you have blessed us abundantly. We give you honor, glory, and praise as we worship now in the mighty, most precious, beloved name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. As you give this morning, would you kindly stand and worship as we go before the Lord? God bless you. believers, come on, join me across the front of this room. This morning, if you're believing God for freedom in your life, change in your life, newness in your life, you need a victory in your life, we want to come in agreement with you right before we leave this place. Let's celebrate God and celebrate one another. Did you know the word celebrate has its origin in the Latin word, which means to make famous? We want God to be made famous, and I want you to know that you're famous in the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, can I have your autograph? Because you're a celebrity in the house of God. So today, if you have a need, I want you to come and let us come in agreement. You live right. You love everybody. Pray hard. Don't miss Wednesday. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Come expecting. Come on. Freedom reigns in this house. Showers of mercy.
Showers of mercy.
You want to give your life to Jesus? Come on.
You're tired and thirsty. There is freedom.
Woo, yeah, come on.
If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom.
Look up. Lift your eyes to Him.
There is freedom.
Come on, give your all to Jesus.
Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom.
Come on, everybody, lift up your voice and sing. Freedom reigns.
Freedom reigns in this place.
Those of us that remain, would you kindly reach a hand out to these? I believe God's doing something supernatural in their life. Some are giving their life to Jesus. Others are being healed right now or delivered. Come on, let's just pray a prayer of faith. Father, we know, Lord God, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, that you're bigger. We pray for them today, God. Those that are surrendering their life to Jesus Christ, that they're being transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We believe, Lord God, right now that Satan is defeated, darkness is leaving, the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. We stand in agreement right now, Father, for great joy to come into their life. Come on, would you just begin to speak joy? Would you begin to speak peace? Would you begin to speak victory in their life? Come on, let's just come in agreement with them. Lord, they are going to be above and not beneath. They are going to, God, break through and never break down again. They are going to be the ones that go over and never under again. In the name of Jesus, we stand in faith with them, Lord, that they are not defeated and they will never give up and quit. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Greet someone on the way out. God bless you all. We love you. Have a great day in Jesus' name.